This is Here and Now. Museums throughout the country are slowly welcoming back visitors. But in the midst of this pandemic and the ongoing protests for racial justice, the world they are opening their doors to has changed significantly. And curators are now thinking deeply about how to reflect our new reality and the roles they play in society. To talk more about this, I have Portia Moore, professor of museum studies at the University of Florida and co-creator of Visitors of Color, and Tyree Boyd Pates, an associate curator of Western history at the Autry Museum of the American West in LA. Welcome.
Thank you for the opportunity.
So Tyree, I want to start with you. You joined the Autry Museum here in LA at the end of last year, but you've been in this space for a while now to recenter Black histories in museum spaces. How have you as a curator in this moment been re-examining the role of the museum, and what have you been doing during this time to respond to the moment?
Museum curators, as well as museums themselves, are seeking to rise to the occasion. We all find ourselves in a historical moment. And at the Autry Museum, we are reimagining and wrinkling the interpretation of who, in fact, inhabits the American West. Currently, I am spearheading an initiative entitled Collecting Community History, the West during COVID-19, as well as BLM protests in the West, which is a archival historical project that seeks to aggregate and generate content from the communities that surround the museum so that we can better retell this moment for future generations.
Portia, the way Tyree is thinking is kind of a difference from what many museums have historically viewed what should be exhibited. I'm thinking about the 1960s New York Met exhibit, all about Harlem, that excluded Black artists. And the Met actually just recently came under fire with staff saying that it has a culture of systemic racism. Portia, what is the history and legacy of museums in this country? How do we get to the real purpose of museums to capture the art and history of right now?
The number of callouts that we've seen in the last several weeks in terms of naming and identifying systemic and institutional racism, I think speak to the fact that our institutions and those who work in our field have never really had to think about whiteness and to think about dismantling whiteness and to really unpack the power of racial literacy. And so when I think about the work that curators like Tyree are doing, when I think about the things that people are doing across the country, I think one of the things that we can do is to help us understand the ways in which our cultural heritage institutions can actually rise to this moment and rise to the occasion, and helping us to think about how we can actually really grow and evolve and transform to 21st century cultural heritage information centers. So there's actually no museum in America right now, sort of regardless of their mission and their vision and their collecting practices, that is unable to kind of help promote necessary 21st century literacies. So some of those literacies would include historical literacy, civic literacy, visual literacy, and then most critically and specifically, racial literacies. So I believe that it's our job to kind of help promote a pedagogy of critical inquiry. And I think that as we move forward, it will be possible for our museums to really think about this notion of the canon, troubling what Toni Morrison calls the master narrative, and allowing us to get back to the place where we can sort of decenter whiteness.
You're also working on making museums accessible and welcoming spaces. You've created a space called Visitors of Color, which pushes museums to think of visitors as active participants and not just donors or patrons of the arts. Can you say more about that?
So that Visitors of Color project is a counter-narrative project. It's our sort of offering to help museum professionals especially understand the ways in which we have to problematize this notion of welcoming and belonging, the ways in which we unintentionally other our visitors, and helping us to understand the ways in which we think about everything from our behaviors, our collective behaviors, so the ways in which we sort of police Black bodies in white spaces, the ways in which we do or do not promote joy, the ways in which we tell narratives that actually can be traumatizing or triggering.
Tyree, how much are you thinking about what Portia is saying when you're thinking about who might be coming to the museum when you curate exhibits?
Thinking of communities of color, particularly the Black community, at the top of mind, I always want to make sure that their stories are centered on the gallery walls, that they feel dignified and elevated when they see representations of themselves on those walls, as well as an opportunity to further investigate what their history has always been, irrespective of who has chosen to center it.
That's really interesting. Do you have an example of an exhibit that you've done or maybe others have done that really yeah. illustrate what you're talking about?
Oh, absolutely. I have several. Most recently, I curated alongside a fantastic team at the California African American Museum, an exhibit entitled Cross Colors, Black Fashion in the 20th Century, where we reclaimed.
We featured that here on Here and Now. Yeah.
Oh, you did. You did. Oh, shout out to that. Woo, woo, woo. where we in that exhibition that I co-curated alongside Taylor Bythewood Porter was an exhibition that reclaimed the narrative of Black fashion in America, but in fact, focusing on the ways in which a hip-hop apparel brand based out of Los Angeles, Cross Colors, actually was able to contribute to a billion-dollar fashion industry. But what the exhibition did specifically is, beyond just showing textiles across the 5,000 square foot space, it actually reclaimed the ways in which Cross Colors and their design choices actually paralleled larger social movements across over the course of 100 years, from Marcus Garvey all the way to Bruno Mars. And so these kind of reclamation pieces, and also having mannequins with Black skin throughout the entire space, recenters the African-American community in a very engaging way that doesn't only center them, but also gives them the privilege that society tends to steal from them oftentimes in other spaces.
We've listened to all of the ways you all see how museums can be prepared to really accurately portray this moment and the future of people in this country. But the pandemic has really changed the way we all interact with public physical spaces like museums. Is their role solely attached to being able to visit them, or does this work expand beyond that? I'll start with you, Tyree.
This work absolutely expands beyond the brick and mortar. I believe, in fact, with the brick and mortar closing, for the most part, institutions, again, have to rise to the occasion to not only engage with the stakeholders they've always had, but the future stakeholders that they've always desired. And I think with this larger reckoning that we're having racially in this country, these institutions are understanding how their complicity in larger institutional discrimination and oppression. And it behooves them to, again, incorporate museological approaches like community curation, where they, in fact, partner with the community in larger museum decision-making processes so these communities, in fact, can feel reflected not only through exhibitions but public programming and other endeavors. And I believe that this moment digitally allows these institutions to meet people where they are with the content that their holdings have always expressed.
Portia.
I tend to look at examples by museums such as the Smithsonian Asian Pacific American Museum that created what they are calling culture labs. And they have something called a culture lab manifesto, which is essentially, going back to Tyree's point about this, the power of co-creation. So they have this sort of mantra, nothing about us without us. And I feel like in this particular moment, museums have a vast opportunity to now directly engage with all of these different community members that they've previously been unable to reach. We can really examine the ways in which we can use social media platforms in a way to not only create dialogic spaces, but also kind of create digital events and happenings. I mean, look at all of the different DJs that were able to kind of basically help everyone heal in real time, right? We can kind of apply that same methodology to the ways in which our museums and their social media platforms can kind of go beyond the walls and kind of create not only a sense of community, but again, a sense of belonging, a sense of healing. It's a place where we can explore different ideas. We can sort of open up the vaults. We can go behind the scenes pull out different objects, curate conversations. We can even sort of just, even if visitors aren't necessarily allowed into the physical space, we can still allow the museum as an actual institution to then reframe its actual function and purpose. So I'm thinking specifically about, I believe it was the Brooklyn Museum that allowed its site to be a food distribution center, right? Mm-hmm. So we can think about the ways that the museum is not just a sort of a physical space, but that it actually can go beyond that. So this notion of like museum without borders.
That's Dr. Portia Moore, professor of museum studies at the University of Florida and co-creator of Visions of Color, and Tyree Boyd Pates, historian and associate curator of Western History at the Autry Museum of the American West in LA. Thank you all both for this conversation.
Thank you.
Thank you.